I want to read a prayer. It's a missions prayer, and it seems like every week we get the opportunity and the blessing of hearing from some missionary, from guys that are out there putting love in action, guys that are out there making a difference in the world that we're living in, guys that are out there sharing the gospel. And so this prayer is directed at that. One of you guys, there you go, team effort. I want you to just listen, and if you want to really listen, you might want to close your eyes during this prayer so you can just don't have the eye gate, but just the hearing in this. O sovereign Lord of all men and all times and all people, we come to you this morning with praise in our hearts. Praise for our Heavenly Father who cares about His children, even though we're sinners and are unworthy of Your love and care. You have had mercy on us. You have set us aside and pardoned us and have adopted us into Your eternal family. Gracious Father, even though we're sinners who deserve death and judgment, You have loved us with an everlasting love. You have demonstrated Your love by sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross, that we might be free from the bondage of sin and death. Father, You have blessed us that we might be a blessing to others. You have set us free that we might be Your messengers, proclaiming freedom in Christ to others. Lord, our prayer this morning is that You would break our hearts for those who don't know You. Would You, Lord, open our eyes that we might see Your heart for those like us for whom Jesus died. And then move us, Lord, to marshal all of our gifts and resources and talents, all of our creativity, to direct toward this mighty mission of bringing Your lost, Your wounded, Your hurting sheep into the fold. Lord, there's nothing more wonderful than seeing You reveal Yourself to others in a life-changing way. When their spiritual light comes on and they, for the first time, understand who You are and their great need for You to forgive them and change them. Thank You, Father. Thank You for allowing us to be the ones You have entrusted Your gospel to. May we be good stewards. May we seek for the lost with Your heart. May we give our time and gifts, resources to reach the world. May we have tender, devotional hearts toward You every day so that Your heart and our hearts beat the same for those who don't know You. Set us free from our selfish selves, for we are distracted most of the time, offering You tidbits instead of our hearts and lives. We don't want to be a token, casual church, Father, that serves You at our convenience and on our terms. We desire to be Your church, serving at Your pleasure, in Your way, and in Your power. Thank You for the missionaries that serve here at home and around the world. May we be a blessing to them, to spur them on their way and to be sensitive to their needs. May we be wise in the use of the financial resources that You've entrusted to us, so that we might have plenty to give to Your missionaries as they strive to take Your love and gospel to the ends of the earth. So, Lord, today we're continuing to ask You to work a miracle in our hearts and in our churches, the miracle of harvest, when Your Holy Spirit teaches and empowers us to see a revival that few of us believe can really happen, a revival in our hearts and church, that ushers in scores of Your sheep that don't know You yet, that aren't enfolded into Your church at this time. We know we exist as Your church, Lord, not just so that our needs can be met, but that we might be strong, loving, concerned, and a burdened body to accomplish now, here, today, what Jesus died on the cross to attain, the redemption of the world. May we be faithful. May we be fruitful and productive, caring and gracious, loving and sensitive, bold and courageous, generous and lavish with all you've given us, for one reason, that the world might come to know your precious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we please you and obey you in this, Father, and be welcomed one day into your heavenly kingdom hearing these precious words. Well done, my good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of your Master. And all God's men said, you know, as I was preparing some thoughts today and for this weekend with these guys that I'll get a chance to go to and speak with, God really put it on my heart, the times that we're living in. You know, we guys say, well, what do you speak on when you go to retreats? And if I've never been to that group of men before, I speak on men of God for such a time as this. Trying to raise up men in the midst of this generation. We have to ask the question sometime, did God make a mistake that you and I were given the privilege of living now here in the world we're living in today that's unraveling, the world that you see prophecies fulfilled every day, the world that is closer to Jesus coming than it's ever been, the world that's just seeing record fires like we're seeing now again, in Northern California, fires that you might as well not have a fire department because there's nothing they can do. The fire is totally taken over. It's totally wiping out. It's burned up a whole town. Lives are being lost. And all people can do is run for their lives. Earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes. We could go on and on at all the record things that are happening. Just what Jesus said in Matthew 24 would happen. You're going to see all these things happen. The problem is, does it motivate you? Does it inspire you? Does it get you revved up, fired up, to be more effective for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. That's a Christian banner. Only what's done for Christ will last. What are we doing? You remember the quote that I've shared with you many times? It says, you know, the worst thing that could happen to you is not that you may fail at something that's really important or lose something that you love dearly. But the greatest thing is that you might be successful at things that don't really matter. That don't matter in light of eternity. That don't matter in light of how you spend your time, your effort, your gifts, your resources. And sometimes we just need to get that menin slap across the face, that commercial we used to get. Thanks, I needed that. I needed to be reminded of who I am and why I'm here and where I'm going and how I'm going to get there and who's going to get me there. So what we do is go back to verses like Ezekiel 22, 30 and 31. I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. About 10 or 12 verses before these verses, God had given them a picture of how corrupt the land and the country was. Billy Graham says if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a pretty strong statement, but it's a world we're living in. I search for a man. Does God have to search for you today? Does he have to, or does he know where to find you? Now, I want to commend you for being in church on Sunday, being in whatever small group you're in, being here on Friday or up in Fullerton on Wednesday or whatever you're attending, whatever you're going to. Because if Jesus were to come back, this is where you'd want to be. Amen? You'd want to be here worshiping him. But you know, we worship him more than just in song. Song inspires us, motivates us, blesses us, moves us, can be very emotional. But we go out that door every day. And we go out there to give them heaven. They got enough hell. You got enough hell? Have you had enough? Have you understood what life apart from God and Jesus Christ would be like and is like for most of the world today? In our country, we find ourselves in interesting times. If you're going to be a witness in our country today, you better, as Paul warned Timothy over in 2 Timothy, he says, Timothy, all those who live righteous in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, if you're living unrighteously in Christ Jesus, that means if you're a Christian but you're not living it, then you're not going to have to worry too much about being persecuted, at least for your faith. You'll be persecuted by the devil. You'll be persecuted by his minions. But you won't be persecuted because you identify with Jesus Christ, because you're living for Jesus Christ, because you're living an unexpected life, a remarkable life in this world. And that remarkable, unexpected life is just being a Christian, being genuine, authentic, and real in your faith and living it out. In John 2, Jesus was going into Jerusalem for the Passover, and he had been doing all kinds of miracles and healing people and walking on water and feeding 5,000. And so as he came into Jerusalem, people were saying they believed in him. And it says in the last two verses in John 2 that Jesus, as far as it was with him, he would not, they were saying, "We believe in you." He knew it was an intellectual assent. It wasn't a real belief that he was the Messiah, that he was the way, the truth, and the life. They didn't believe that he was the only way that you can get to heaven. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes into the kingdom of God except through me and by me." He's God's substitute. He's the propitiation for our sin. He's the one that sacrificed his life. Now, sin must be a pretty big deal, and redemption must be a pretty big deal for God to give his only son to die on a cross for sin, for your sin and my sin. He took what we should have taken and should have to take on himself. And so Ezekiel says, "I was looking for a man that believed all that, that lived all that among them, who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land." Not for himself, not to look better, not to get people to think, as we were over in Jerusalem a couple of weeks ago, and we'd see these guys standing on corners and reading as they walked, and they had all the garb on and all that. And we realize that nothing's changed in the last 2,000 years over there. But, you know, we could stand back and judge them, but don't we do the same thing? Don't we do, aren't we motivated to do a lot of what we do because of what other people will think of us? See, less of me and more of him has got to be what's on the dash of your car to remind you it's not about me. Don't talk about yourself all the time. Don't just every time you show up, you're telling of your heroics and your fruit and your accomplishments and what's going on in your life. Now, it's okay to do that to bring glory to God. But a lot of people that say they want to bring glory to God are not bringing glory to God. They're pointing people toward themselves. And God says, don't do that. And he had perfect examples in the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of the day. We just have to make sure that that's not true of us. "Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads." Your sin will be found out. That's the message of this. Ezekiel says, God looked for a man that would stand in the gap for the faith, a man that would stand strong, a man that would be on his guard, stand firm in the faith, act like a man. Be strong. Do it all in love. Look for those kind of guys. You're going to have to do some major dying to yourself if you're just even going to live out the Sermon on the Mount back 50, 60, 70 years ago before all this mess started happening, before everybody started saying God is dead and calling evil good and good evil, and now it's a mantra of the culture. Are you ready to stand for Christ in that culture? Are you ready to be a light of the world and a salt of the earth in that culture? Are you ready to turn the other cheek and love those who don't wish you well? Matter of fact, love those who would incarcerate you, those who would call you a criminal, only because and your big crime was believing the Bible, believing God's word. It's happened to Christians throughout church history. It just hadn't happened here yet. Are you prepared for that if it does happen here? Are you ready? What are you trying to save? Are you trying to save America? Nations and countries come and go. The word of God stands forever. People are eternal. There's only two things that are eternal in this world. One is people, and the other is the Word of God. They're going to last forever. Everything else is temporary. It's secular. And it's going to pass away. That's all I got time for this morning, but I think that's enough. God's challenging us to be men who will stand in the gap, who will be strong. In Luke 14, before he got to Luke 15 and was talking about this very subject, in Luke 14 he said there are three things, and you've heard them before, that you can't be my disciple unless you do these three things. And every one of them was things that we dearly love. He puts his hands on those things we dearly love: your family, your possessions, your reputation, your protection, the thing that you fear. And he said, don't fear those who could persecute you or take your body or kill you. Fear him who could send your soul into hell for all eternity. That's who you better fear. I don't know what you're fearful of, but you better be fearful of that. Because 80%, according to one guy, one commentary writer, said 80% of people on church, in church, every Sunday are not saved. I mean evangelical churches. I'm not talking about mainline churches, liberal churches. I'm talking about churches that would be in the evangelical category. And you know, if you want to test this out, just ask people in your church, friends that you know. Ask them this question. If you were standing at the gates of heaven today and Jesus was there and said, why should I let you in? What would you tell them? And their answer to that question will tell you if they really know Jesus or not. Because if you really know Jesus, you know you've been saved by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works. Most church-going people will give you a works-based, merit-based answer to that question. Well, I'm trying to be a good person. I try not to hurt people. One guy told me one time, I saved a guy's life. I think that'll get me in. He's got a rude awakening, I guess. So I got a chance to say, well, that's not what the Bible says. So when you ask them that question and you get that, say, well, that's not what the Bible says. Would you be interested in knowing, just so that you'll know what the Bible says about that? And then you get a chance to share the gospel, share your testimony, share whatever you're prepared to share. But are you prepared to share that? Get somebody around you who is prepared to share that and find out how you do that. How do you share your testimony? How do you share the gospel? What's your favorite method? And so there are two things that I have told you many times that men don't attend. They don't attend prayer meetings and they don't attend evangelism training. There's other things, but those are the two top things. And so don't be that guy that avoids the prayer meetings. Don't be that guy. Just start them. If you hadn't got one going in your church or in your men's group or wherever you are, start one. We had a guy try to start one in his church, and the pastor showed up the first week and nobody else, and the pastor didn't show up the second week. So the prayer meeting didn't get off the ground. But he was doing what God had asked him to do. So guys, I just want to challenge you one more time. Challenge you to say, when Jesus came, he said, guys, I'm not going to get involved in politics. I'm not going to join the zealots who are trying to run the Romans out. I'm not going to take Herod's place and be your king. I'm not going to get involved in all this that's going on and all the corrupt things that are happening. I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to take those three fishermen over there that are cleaning their nets, that are uneducated, and they live on the wrong side of the tracks. They have no achievement, no resume, nothing to say that they should ever be mine. And I'm going to make them the plan. I'm going to take that tax gatherer, that guy you all hate, the guy you despise, you despise. He's the plan. And so, guys, if you don't get it done and I don't get it done, we're the plan. And we're going to have to stand before God one day, and we're going to have to answer for where we got it done or not. We're going to have to stand before him and say, did you follow that mantra that we have in the men's ministry and Christian church? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I think about that every day. I think about how that prayer ended. Hearing Jesus say one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master. You want to hear that? Let's get out there and give them heaven. Do it according to who you are, your sphere of influence, your gifts that God's given you, the way you do it, not the way I do it or he does it or she does it, the way you do it. But let's do it. Be the man that stands in the gap. Be the man that he doesn't have to get eye strain looking for. Be the man that's showing up at the prayer meetings, evangelism training. Be like Tom Van Tile here. Tom was praying and asking the Lord what to do. And so the Lord said, I want you to go start a Bible study in a nursing home. He went to a local nursing home here in Irvine and asked permission to do that. They said, well, are you a pastor? No. What are you? Well, I guess I'm a lay pastor. And then he started feeling guilty about that. He's a lay pastor. He's a minister. He's had his first Bible study this past Wednesday in there. He had 9 women show up. 0 men. But he had 9 women to show up. And now he's going to meet them again in 3 weeks. And way to go, Tom. God bless you. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about guys that just step out in faith. Guys that don't know, they're not qualified, they're not, don't have all the education that some people require, but they're fired up for Jesus Christ and they're making a difference in the world. Amen. Let's stack hands on that, guys. Father, we just thank you for calling us for this time and this place and these days. For such a time as this, that you've entrusted the gospel to us in this world today. As it unravels, Father, men are, and women are more open to the gospel. May we have eyes to see and a heart to reach them and to reach out to them. Those on the other side of the aisle. Those who don't agree with our lifestyles. Those that are at odds with us. Those that are different from us. Those that we might see are destroying and tearing up and ruining. Could we love them? Give us a heart for that. Give us a creativity in how to reach them and how to build bridges instead of burn bridges. And we'll give you the credit and the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's men said, amen. Amen. Go give them heaven, guys.